Who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. Hey, you would take my place. Hey, you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. And I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. And you would take my place. And you would bear my cross. Oh, you lay down your life. And I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. And you would take my place. And you would bear my cross. Oh, you would lay down your life. And I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you
for me. Great. Thanks, Rich. It's good. And what a great declaration to be able to start our time together this morning. And it's really great. And I want to welcome you. A big, big welcome. I don't know how big I can make it, but huge welcome to everybody. It's great to have you with us, joining us today. Whether that's live now, while you're still in your PJs at home, or whether it's later on in video, by video here on the page, or even by the phone. And so it's welcome to you all. It's great to have you with us. Yeah, it's still so frustrating, isn't it? So frustrating that we can't meet in person. And again, we're on our own here, just as the team streaming the service, but let's stay safe, even in the midst of this lockdown. Let's stay safe, let's stay within the guidelines, and let's keep praying, of course, for our town, for our families, for our town, for our nation, for our world. It's still very much in the grip of this thing. But it's good news, isn't it, that the vaccine is getting out there. And I know a few, even within our own church, have had it. So it's starting. So let's pray that that will all change towards the end. But let's keep praying. So let's pray now. Let's give our time to God, shall we? Let's pray. So, Father, in the midst of the struggle still in our lives, it's amazing grace which is still ours Lord, you have still poured out so much into our lives. And Lord, you've given us hope. You've given us that opportunity to look out beyond our restrictions, beyond the limitations of this world. And we, Lord, can find life. We can find you, Jesus. We can find hope. We can find that motivation for life. And even find that eternal life which comes from you. So, Lord God, we want to thank you for this opportunity. Even via the technology, we want to thank you, Lord, that we can still meet together, that we can still connect, and that we can still offer our worship. Lord, thank you that nothing can take that away from us, because, Lord, it's who you are in our hearts and in our spirits. So, Lord, release us to worship you, to bless you, and to learn from you today as we commit our whole time into your hands. We ask it, Jesus, in your lovely and precious name. Amen. Amen. Okay, just a few notices, if I could. Firstly, for those who are regular members of Emmanuel, you'll know that we opened up a Christmas fund from Christmas Day onwards. Well, that fund has raised up to now £460, which is brilliant. So thank you to all those who've given. Now, that's going to be split two ways. We're going to a local need, and that is our Swanage Food Bank here within the town. But it's also going to go to Arab World Ministries for their work in Beirut in trying to rebuild the city after that incredible explosion and very sad explosion back in August. Now, the fund closes tomorrow, so if you are still wanting to give and you just haven't, can you do it today, please, so that we can get that money to where it needs to be? That would be brilliant. Now, later on this week, we have our prayer time on Wednesday, and that's going to be via Zoom at 7:30. So you will, I'm sure you'll be sent that link, but if you're not usually on that and you'd like to join us, then please leave a comment and we'll get that link sent to you. And just a reminder as well, if I don't know where you've been, if you have missed this, but our church meeting, which was planned for this Tuesday, is now no longer going to happen this Tuesday, and it's been postponed, but we will meet again probably sometime in March for our next one. But there will be a few bits of information coming out to those of you who are part of the church here, just to keep you informed about a few bits. And of course, straight after our service today, we have our coffee time. You can have a cup of coffee, of course, all the way through, but if you want to have a meet with others, then you can do that again via Zoom, and the link's also there. If you want that, then please leave another note if you've not got it. And within that comes the opportunity if you would like to pray with somebody as well about anything. It doesn't have to be related to the service. It can be about anything. So there you go. Well, I'm going to hand back to Rich, and I have to say, I think what he's going to do now, it looks really scary. So I'm going to move well away. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I've brought in something really dangerous, which is this table here. No, there's something a bit more scary than that. Can anyone remember what we were talking about last week? Mark and I both talked about it. We'll give you a couple of seconds in the comments, perhaps. But we were talking about three friends who found themselves in a position where they had to decide if they wanted to be brave and continue or be scared and give in. Okay, and there was a king called Nebuchadnezzar who wanted them to worship a great big golden statue, and if they didn't, they'd be thrown into the fire. Well, today I want to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's friend, who's also in a lot of these stories, called Daniel. And Daniel found himself in a very similar position. There was a new king. God's people were still in another country. They were still ruled by other people. But Nebuchadnezzar was finished, and the new king was called Darius. And Darius, he really liked Daniel. Even though Daniel loved God and wasn't one of his people, Darius thought that Daniel was great. And he wanted to put Daniel in charge of the country and give him lots of responsibility and a really good new job. But this made some people very jealous. And they tried to get rid of Daniel, but they couldn't find anything wrong with him. They couldn't get him in trouble because he was just so good. So they came up with a plan to get rid of him. If we can convince the king that no one can pray to any gods, whether ours or someone else's, they can only pray to the king, that's how we'll trap Daniel. And anyone who breaks that law will be thrown to the lions and eaten alive. Could you imagine this morning, if you watched our church, or if you prayed, or if you joined in with the worship, soldiers would come and break down your door, grab you and throw you to lions. Would you be tuning in this morning? Now, I couldn't get hold of a lion. I wanted to bring in something really dangerous. So I spoke to my friend Kevin, and he said I could borrow this, which is very, very dangerous. It's a guillotine. It's a chopper. Okay, it's got a big sharp blade in here. And he said I could borrow it on a couple of conditions. He said I could use this morning so long as I looked after this bit here, which is called the safety. There's a little switch here which stops the blade falling down. He also said I could use it to demonstrate how sharp it is by chopping up some vegetables. So I'll put a carrot in this little hole here. And this blade's going to come down. And he said, no matter what I do, I mustn't put my hand in this hole. Because if I put my hand in this hole and I push the blade down, I'll chop it off. Okay? So I've got three things. I'm allowed to chop the fruit. I have to make sure this little safety catches on. And whatever I do, I mustn't put my arm through like that. Okay? Because if I put my hand through like that and then I slam... Oh dear. Well, it's chopped the carrot in half. And I'm a bit worried about playing the next song on the guitar, to be honest. But it seems as though I'm okay. Now, this is a clever trick. Okay? There's nothing really too special about it. It's just a clever trick here. But Daniel was in real danger. If Daniel decided to follow God and do what he knew was right, which was talk to him every day, and Daniel used to pray three times, he knew that he could be thrown alive to the lions. So Daniel knew what the danger was. And he knew that if he wanted to talk to his friend God, he'd get not just in trouble, but he'd be thrown to lions. But he decided it was more important to be friends with God than to be friends with the king. Daniel prayed. And the people who didn't like him very much went and told the king straight away. And there was nothing that the king could do to save his friend. Because once he'd made a law, it couldn't be unmade. Daniel was thrown to the lions. But God saved him. Now, this story doesn't mean that if you're a Christian, you don't have to listen to kings or queens, that you don't have to listen to advice or wear masks, or you don't have to pay taxes. The Bible's very clear that actually we should listen to people who are in charge of us. God says we should do that. But in this circumstance, where a king made a law, which Daniel meant he couldn't be friends with God anymore, Daniel chose to be friends with God no matter what. Which was a really brave thing to do. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their challenge was out in the open in front of everybody. Everyone was watching them to see if they would worship the statue or worship God. But Daniel was at home, in his own house, in private. Sometimes it's easy to look like a Christian when everyone's watching. The real challenge, like Daniel, is to still love God when it's just us and him. I'm going to hand over to my friend Adam, who's going to sing our song, I Am a Friend of God. Take it away.
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me, it's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Who am I? You are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. God, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. Oh, oh. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. God Almighty, Lord of glory.
It's not Mark walking up to the stage, it's me. But thank you ever so much, Adam. We're going to sing another song which talks about being friends with God even when our situations aren't.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord. You never let go of me. You see a light that is coming for a heart that holds on. The glorious life beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles. But until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord. You never let go of me. can see a light that is coming for a heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go from every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
You deserve the glory. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling the government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, "Our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion." So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, "Long live King Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisers and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be revoked." So King Darius signed the law. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room, with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. So they went straight to the king and reminded him about his law. "Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions?" "Yes," the king replied, "that decision stands. It is an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked." Then they told the king, "That man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God 3 times a day." Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled, and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, "Your majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed." So at last the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, "May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles, so that no one could rescue Daniel. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep at all that night. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "Long live the king! My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trust in his God. Then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel. He had them thrown into the lions' den, along with their wives and children. The lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. "Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
Thanks, Laura, for reading that. I really appreciate that.
So last week, you will remember, I'm sure, we started a new series leading up to Easter time under this heading of messages from lockdown, because of course it relates to where we are. And as Rich has already opened up for us, we looked at some guys, these three. Well, this is the picture I used last week, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and the encounter which they had with a fiery furnace because of a dilemma that they faced due to an evil king, a nasty piece of work called Nebuchadnezzar. He was the king of Babylon. And you can pick up that whole story in Daniel chapter 3, or even watch last week if you wanted to, because we read the story there as well, if you missed it. But this week, as you've heard, we're going to be looking at a friend of these guys, a chap called Daniel, who we've just heard through these passages, this passage in Daniel 6, also gets caught up in a pretty sticky situation, which I'm going to call Dan and the Big Cats, okay? Dan and the Big Cats. And although it's a similar sort of scenario to the one last week, and a bit connected because of it's all about worship and things of that nature, this one comes, I think, on two levels and two sorts of lockdown, I suppose you could call it. And the first one is that there is a national lockdown for these Israelite exiles. You know, they've been shipped there because Jerusalem fell, and they've been shipped to this place called Babylon from Jerusalem. So they're not within their own homes. They're not in what they would like to be their own country. But this also then comes, the story, as we've heard, changes it much more to a personal lockdown for Daniel, as he ends up with this bunch of big cats. So what I want us to do is look at this whole story and say, okay, God, what are the messages? What's the lessons you want us to teach us from this? And so I thought, how can we do this in an intriguing way? Well, what I'm going to do, we're going to look at it through the ins and the outs of the lockdown. Okay? You're probably thinking, oh? Well, ins and outs is a very familiar expression, isn't it, in our language today? And I think things coming in and things going out would connect with it. So our first in and out, or rather out than in, is about the leadership, which again Rich referred to, and that is the setting of the story. Because things have changed since that fiery furnace story, and time has moved on. Actually, about 40 years, it's thought. And this one here in chapter 6 takes place under the leadership of a new empire and a new king. A guy called Darius and the Persian Empire are in, and because the Babylonian Empire and this evil king, and in fact even his evil son, Belshazzar, are out. So they've been replaced. Babylon, therefore, has fallen to this more superior power of Persia. And God, in one sense, predicted that this would happen. And God, it's amazing how God speaks into even these sort of secular situations which are going on. If you read some of the prophets, you'll pick that up. But God predicted, even ordained, that Nebuchadnezzar would be out and Babylon would fall. So we're in this fascinating story. And if you want to read that transition time, read chapters 4 and 5. They are fascinating. Some amazing things taking place. So we have Darius. He's now the new boss and the king of Persia. But with that position, he also inherits a few people. And the people of the land. And that includes, of course, the Israelite people, those who are in exile from Jerusalem. They were his captives, as it were. And he inherited them. They came as part of the package of taking over the land. But it was soon clear that this guy, Daniel in particular, was a bit special. And he recognized he was a very capable young man. And he appointed him as administrator in the kingdom. But of course, a few people didn't want that and actually wanted him out. Now, life's never straightforward, is it? Of course, it's very, very interesting that definitely in the case for us over this last year, in fact, under this third national lockdown now, things have become pretty hard due to COVID-19, this coronavirus. And we're tied in with restrictions and new laws to contend with. But for Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and the people of this day, they also were under these sort of new rules. Rules which didn't really fit with what they believed and what they understand. They were under a different government and a different power structure. And life was tough for them too. So we can relate to this lockdown, and their story does relate to us. So it was like another layer of pressure upon them. So their belief and the laws of the land really did clash sometimes. And yet, just as his mates, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, we looked at last week, the belief systems and the authorities didn't always allow the worship of this one God, an almighty God. It sometimes there was this clash. So there was opposition from certain people who didn't like them, didn't like their faith, in fact, didn't understand them, and certainly didn't believe in their God. And the circumstances, are very similar to us. We can relate to them, can't we? There are people around us, even today, in our world, in our culture, who don't necessarily like what we believe. They want us to do things differently. They're forcing us into a situation which, goes against the grain for us, but keeps us silent, stops us from doing what we want to do in our following God. And it's not easy. Some don't even respect the belief which we have, which I think is very wrong and unfair. I think at least we can respect each other, even if we don't necessarily follow it. And it's all made worse, of course, by the human spirit and the jealousy and the other things, the wrong attitudes which get mixed in with it. So it was a tough situation. It was a spiritual battle. And we're in that spiritual battle as much as it was for Daniel and his friends at that time too. So here's where the next out emerges, if you like. Certain others, these king's administrators, became really jealous and envious of Daniel and wanted him out. They wanted him out of the situation. They saw his rise to power and his increasing position of influence, even with the king, and his friendship with the king, and how the king favoured him in some ways. So they tried to find a way to trip him up and trap him, to get him off the scene. Now, it might have sounded pretty easy, but actually I think this was a lot tougher than they thought it was going to be at first, because Daniel was a good guy. Daniel lived a good life. He was a good and upright man, a man full of integrity and honesty. His life backed up what he said. And as the passage here in verse 4 says, he was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. They could clearly see that his character and his lifestyle backed up his claims and his faith in God. I just want to pause there for a moment, because that, I find, is quite a challenge. Quite a challenge. What about us? Why are we consistent in living good and upright lives as others see? Do we match up? Are we trustworthy? Are we honest? And as Rich actually said when he was doing the kids thing, when we're in the quiet place, when nobody else is watching, what is our real deep down heart? Are we just putting on a bit of a show? Do our lives really back up what we believe? I think this is an issue about visible integrity and transparent holy living. That's what it's about. Visible integrity and transparent holy living. And they were evident in Daniel. It was very, very clear. reflecting God through all that he was and all that he did. Are they in us? That's the question. But because they couldn't get him out that way, what they did, they concluded the only chance, it says in verse 5, finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion, his faith. So they devised this new law where people were only allowed to pray to the king for the next 30 days. And to no other god, no other idol. Stupid, I think. What a crazy law. But there you go, that's the way it was. But what do you think, or what would you have done? What would we have done in that situation? You know, when you're a faithful, loyal follower of the living God and you love praying, you love worshipping, and you like talking to God about everything, what would you do? Do you obey this new law of the land? Even though you want to be loyal and honor your employer, which was the king, of course, in this place, the king you serve, and the king who likes you too. Well, of course, you don't obey this law, no. And this is our next in or out moment, really. You're either in with God for the whole thing, no matter what it might cost, or you might have to choose to get out. So either if you're in with God, you've got to stay in with God. You hang in there, even though things get tough. Over my life, and in certainly as a church leader, I've had many a conversation. When things get difficult, what we want is out. We want to escape. Actually, that might not be what God's wanting. Sometimes to get us through, to build the people God wants us to be, we have to go through some difficult situations. And it's all about character building. It's all about how God wants us to focus upon him and learn from him. And that's not easy. It's not easy. But what did Daniel do? Well, he went home as normal. And he knelt down as normal. And he carried on and prayed to his Father in heaven as normal. Because for Daniel, God was the very core of all that he did and all that he was. His life pivoted around that. Yes, he did his everyday job, but God was the core of it. It was God who put him in that place where he was. And it was God whom he loved and whom he served. No matter what may happen, God was his main focus and his number one priority. And he, I believe, because he knew God, he knew that God was in control. For him, it was about staying faithful. It was about being faithful in prayer, following through God's word. Even if injustice was rising to try and catch him out and to take him out of it. You know, deep down, your God, my God, is big enough to deal with these things. So let's keep worshipping. Let's keep praying. Let's keep focusing. And whatever we might face, whatever might come our way. Would you or I have made that same costly choice, I wonder? So even though Dan was well and truly in with God, that meant, due to the law that had been made, he was thrown out of the king's presence. And even against the king's will, was thrown into the den of lions. Now, as much as I've just said all that I said about his faith and his understanding and his trust in God, how do you think he felt in this moment? Do you think that he would have thought that God would have zapped the king or taken the lions out or something would have happened to change? But no, he had to go into the most difficult situation. He was still thrown amongst these roaring lions. Now, we're not told, but I expect, like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, when their situation, he was a touch scared. He was fearful. He made this stand, and now he was having to sort of weigh it up and, but you know, deep down, When you're in the midst of these difficulties, I believe God is even closer than we would necessarily always experience. And I think in testimonies of others who've been in really life-threatening situations, they've just sensed that God has it in heart, has them in his hands. He's got it. And he just needed to trust. And that even if he was going to die, Daniel was of a conviction, that even if it was that he was going to die, he still was not going to regain on his relationship with God. His conviction, where his conviction was in faith and in his trust in God. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that level of faith incredibly humbling and very, very challenging. I used to think, you know, what would happen when persecution really started to hit this nation? And like in some of our brothers and sisters other parts of the world, because you just own the name of Jesus, you're either thrown into prison or even your life is threatened. It has happened, and it's happened recently in recent years across our world. But how does it make you feel to be in a circumstance like this? How does your relationship with God compare, I wonder? Is my understanding of my God strong enough and big enough to even see me through what is the most terrifying of ordeals? And even if it's a cave of big, hungry, roaring lions, is my love for God strong enough and deep enough, I wonder, that whatever happens, I'll surrender to God's will? Is my love for God, my devotion for God, that worth that? Is it? I find that deeply searching. Ultimately, it's about knowing that God, whatever, is big enough and he understands. And it's looking to this amazing, all-powerful, miracle-working God and his power to deliver and to overcome. But it's still a tough one to call, isn't it? But that level of faith and conviction brings us to our final in and out, in one sense, because God steps in. God sees that faith and he sends his heavenly helper, an angel, to keep Daniel safe and shut the mouths of the lion. Now, we don't know or what really happened or even the true nature of this angel. We don't know how it happened. Did he come and muzzle the lions? What was it? We just don't know. But something changed that situation, and it was God's presence. And because of that, it meant that Daniel got out. So God steps in and we go out. That sound familiar? What about Jesus? We are deserved to die for the things which we've done wrong. But when God stepped in and he brought salvation through the cross and through Jesus' resurrection and our trust in him, the sin goes out and we enter into life. So where we were meant to be punished, we are set free. And you know, this is a lovely, lovely picture of all that goes on. God steps in and we go free. Yes! Isn't that what it's all about? This is what our faith is all about. So if our God truly is this all-powerful, all-creating God we believe in, you know, then we can trust him. But you know, it's easy, isn't it, when we read stories like this, and even when the pressure's not on, how easy it is to say, yeah, I believe it. Yet when the rubber really hits the road, do we back down? Do we chill out? I don't know. Because I tell you, this is what it's all about. It's at these points where it really starts to bite. Even if our lives are threatened. And then finally, a comment about what happened to these guys who did the dirty on Dan. Sounds like a comic. But, you know, they went in. They went in. Whoops, that was meant to be about God. But they went in. And it's quite interesting. This verse, I will take revenge. That's what God says in Deuteronomy 32. And the lesson here, I believe, is that we need to leave the punishment and the revenge or retribution of others to God. There are clearly consequences for sin and deceit, and we've been thinking about that, and all that comes within it. But dealing with that, those consequences, is a divine privilege. It's not ours. We need to leave this to God. We may not personally see the judgment ever executed. Forgive the pun. It did happen here, of course. And Daniel did see these guys executed. But it might not happen in our lifetime. Or this side even of eternity. But rather, because God is who he is, we must trust him and entrust ourselves and their judgment and God's judgment of these people to God. For him to deal with. No matter how much they have wronged us, our calling is to forgive, to release. Now, God is the God of justice. It's very clear. He stands against injustices. He hates sin, and he wants righteousness to flow instead. And in one of the other prophets in Amos, it says, but let justice flow on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. So Daniel may have felt well miffed and thought, I'm going to get you guys. I'm going to have a chat with the king and we'll get you. But he just came out and he let God do the God bit. And God dealt with it. Verse 24. Very clear. So it just proves that God has stepped in. Because even before these guys hit the floor of the cave, the lions were all over them. So it's an amazing story. But lastly, I don't know whether you've noticed, but as it was with King Nebuchadnezzar, on the back of what Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego did, the king and therefore the national leadership were humbled because of this action, because of Daniel's faith. And this incredible intervention of God turned the atmosphere, turned this king to thinking differently. Which eventually, of course, led to an acknowledgement of God and even the changing of society. Read verses 25 to 27. What pagan king, what other king would want to do that unless they'd been really deeply moved and changed? We don't know. But who knows, and this is the same as last week, who knows what our devotion to God, our faithful trust and obedience to him could bring? What sort of change could that happen in our world, I wonder? Every time we do what is right or step out in faith, I believe the light that is God within us shines out into the world. And people do see. So it's another amazing message from lockdown, isn't it? What a fabulous thing. But I think what God wants to take us to take away from here is that God is there with us. He's there with us in the lockdowns of life. He's in the struggles. He's in the opposition. He's in the injustices. He's in the fears. He's in the obedience. He's in the trust. He's in the unknowns. He's in the judgment. And he's in the future. He's in all of it with you, with me, with us all. I really do believe that. If our God truly is this big God, then we can trust that he's going to be in it with us. And he's in it now with us in this time, in this lockdown. And I think we ought to acknowledge that. And I'd like you to lead us, just before we sing our final song, I'd like you to lead us in a prayer. So let's pray. And so, Lord, thank you for this incredible story. Thank you for Daniel and his faithfulness and his devotion to you. For the faith that he showed, even in the midst of accusation and opposition, that released your miracle-working power. Even under the threat of losing his life, he stayed faithful. Lord, help us to learn from that. And Lord, help us to see you in the same way at work in our lives, in our situations, with the things that we face. To know your power and to trust in your love for us that can and will see us through all of life's pain, all of life's struggles. And that, Lord, we will see ourselves overcome all the obstacles because you are there with us. Anything that gets thrown in our way, you will help us because you are there with us. In you, Lord, we can and we will overcome. Help us to stay faithful to you, Lord, like Daniel did, to keep our eyes fixed on you, no matter how hard things become, and to leave those who sin against us into your hands for your judgment to be effected. And so, Lord, we place ourselves back into your hands today, at this very moment. Help us to bring the light that is Christ in us into the darkness of this world, so that in some way or another, through us and through the work of your Holy Spirit within us, we will shine and people will see the reality of you in our lives. Oh Lord, help us, we pray. For your kingdom's sake and for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. He is an incredible God. And so we're going to bring our service to a close. Rich is going to lead us in singing that wonderful song, Indescribable. So thanks, Rich.
From the highest of start that again, key one. From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God, who has told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow. Who imagined the sun and gives source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Incomparable, unchangeable, you see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God.
Just to close, what an incredible God we love, we worship, we follow. And I just pray that God will just feed that deep into our very being, because that's what it's all about. If you wanted to follow up on anything which you've heard, you've seen, you've thought about, and it stirred your thinking, then you can just leave a message in comments or email us or whatever. But we'd like to support you if you're on a journey and you need to sort things out. But we're going to bring our service to a close. We're going to nip back to last summer, in fact, and our lovely friend and fellow member of church here, Wyn Allen, is going to share the grace with us. So thanks for joining us, and the Lord bless you.
And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.